It is 7 o'clock, and you are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for the Opera Box.
Westward, Denver's independent source of local news and culture. More information at westward.com.
Support comes from Community Food Share, providing drive-through pickup service for groceries in Broomfield, Boulder, and Longmont. More information, including schedule and locations, at communityfoodshare.org.
Good evening and welcome in the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. I hope you're enjoying our spring weather while observing social distancing and the challenges of the times. Tonight, my playlist features operas that have updated calamity that we can relate to, such as the hurricane in Aaron Copland's The Second Hurricane.
I'd be a hero that way.
And we're going to experience earthquakes and the dangers of airline flights as well. Hold on to something and join me for tonight's updated drama in the Opera Box. Students at a New York high school volunteer to help victims in the disaster areas in the South that have been struck by a recent hurricane. For the kids, it's an adventure. But for their parents, adventures contain hidden risks, and they're not so sure the kids should go. What they all don't know is a second hurricane is coming. The Second Hurricane by Aaron Copland. We heard Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic and members of the senior chorus of the New York School of Music and Art. It's 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel, and I've got a playlist of operas presenting modern dramatic situations, such as earthquakes and the perils of airline travel, even plagues. Now, historically, the calamities in opera are built around human melodramatic situations, intrigue, infidelity, ambition, love triangles, power, lust, jealousy, and so on. But here we all are today dealing with very real calamity. So more recently, composers use modern situations that affect the lives of real people. So in 1936, Aaron Copland was commissioned to write an opera for young people. This would be Copland's first attempt at writing an opera. Of course, in the 1930s, the country was experiencing economic and social calamity. Composed with young singers in mind, his opera reflects the social struggles of his day. The libretto was by the American writer Edwin Denby, who actually was born in China. And the opera premiered in 1937 on the radio, directed by none other than Orson Welles, featuring students and parents of the Henry Street Settlement School. Then, in 1960, Leonard Bernstein reprised the opera for his Young People's Concert Series, and he made a stereo recording of the performance. In this scene from Act One of that performance, six students volunteer to help hurricane victims in the South. The parents aren't so sure the kids should go. On the flight, the excited students are preoccupied with adventure and youthful concerns such as dating and physical ability, race, and self-image. After the plane takes off, unbeknownst to everyone, a second hurricane is on the way. From Act One of The Second Hurricane.
We don't know. don't know.
Look pretty young for this.
If they are too
just
young,
too green and too young.
If they ought to go.
We're going, we're flying, gee, it's great. Visit, visit, it's wonderful. Oh boy, it's great. We all in the play. In the play, a real play, a real play, the boy is great.
We're going to bring food to people who are starving.
We'll save a lot of lives.
Wonderful.
We'll see the famous flood. We'll be right in it.
I hope we won't be in it.
Go swimming in it.
Gee, I forgot my water wings.
The folks at home will see us, our pictures in the papers.
Newsreels too.
Newsreels too.
We'll work day and night, they'll say we're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
You'll be heroes, all right.
We'll tell them, we know all about it. A boy can ride a bike, can ride a bike. Shout, shout, shout.
I like it all right.
Butch, Fat, Chip and Laurie, Gwen and Weenie. Butch, Fat, Chip and Laurie, Gwen and Weenie. Flying and everything. Gee, I call it
Roo! Butch, Fat, Chip and Laurie, Gwen and Weenie. Butch, Fat, Chip and Laurie, Gwen and Weenie. What a wonderful time they'll have. What a swell time. Flying and rescuing, flying and everything.
Especially when they start off with the idea it's going to be a picnic. You heard them.
No, we don't.
If they really should go, if they really should.
High school students volunteering to help hurricane victims while their parents are not so sure it's a good idea. Later, a second hurricane will strand the students, and they'll be forced to cooperate despite their differences and egos. From Act One of The Second Hurricane, music of Aaron Copland, we heard Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic and members of the senior chorus of the New York School of Music and Art. Coming up on 15 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadel. And I've got a playlist featuring opera with modern calamities. We go now from Aaron Copland's Hurricanes to John Adams' Earthquake. The American composer John Adams' piece is called "I Was Looking at the Ceiling and Then I Saw the Sky." And that's reportedly a quote from a victim of the 1994 earthquake in Northridge, California. Adams calls the piece a song story, but it really defies categorization. The libretto was by his friend, the poet June Jordan, and they take advantage of the incident, like Copeland did, to consider several social issues, in this case from immigration to sexuality. The orchestration is just for a small music ensemble, and the story unfolds in an apartment building before and after the earthquake. The building collapses in ruins, leaving the characters' lives in limbo. There's a cop, Mike, a lonely woman, Tiffany, who's attracted to Mike, a womanizer, David, and his girlfriend, Layla, an African-American with a criminal past, Dwayne, a lawyer, Rick, and an illegal immigrant from El Salvador, Consuelo. In this scene from Act Two, the building now lies in ruins. Layla's been killed. But Mike finds Tiffany unharmed. She asks Mike why he hasn't been more interested in her. He's evasive, and she wonders if something's wrong with her. And then she wonders out loud, maybe you're gay. Which he at first denies, but then admits. Rick soon appears, and it's clear he's been attracted to Tiffany for some time. From Act Two of I Was Looking at the Ceiling, and Then I Saw the Sky.
Is everything okay?
Oh, everything is fine. And now that you're here, it's perfect somehow. I've spent the last 45 minutes trying to figure out this tent. I can't find a flashlight that works or a phone I can use. And who knows how I'm supposed to be. And who knows how I'm supposed to be handling the news? The radio stop and the neighbors bailed out like major league jerks. It's perfectly fine and completely alright that a weather's turned off for the rest of the night or the week. No windows, and the closet collapsed on my clothes and my camera. How did you get here?
It took me a while. I was nowhere near your side of town when it hit. The streets are cracked up pretty good and packed with people standing around in blankets. I should probably bring you something like a first aid kit.
But why did you come? But why did you come?
You know you're not at all the same as anyone I ever knew. And it would be dumb, and I'd be sorry if I came up short or late. Where you're concerned, I want it to come through.
Then why can't we fly? Then why can't we fly? Is there some other woman? Is there a man? A secret agenda? Another ground plan? Why can't we fly?
feel this really great connection with you. A special bond.
Special as in fond of nothing to be done and nothing to do, but no desire as in physical fire.
I like how we are riding around in a car.
How long have I been waiting for a train that never made it to the tracks?
I thought we were friends.
Maybe, Mike, maybe you're gay, maybe you're queer.
Queer.
Yes, that's what I said. It just came to me. It just got through a really thick part of my head. Maybe you're gay.
Me? What should I say? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, absolutely no way. If you mean physically.
No, I do mean physically.
Because I don't feel the way that you want me to deal.
I mean what you do, you don't feel. That's real for you.
If you were right, I'd kill myself. I'd kill myself. I'd kill myself.
Obviously, this is not a good night. Then again, maybe there is nothing the matter with me. That you would be an enormous relief from a mass of crazy personal grief.
So we're not breaking up.
I do not exactly qualify for partnership with you.
We're breaking up.
Mike, it's broken. I'm waking up, we're taking up a new direction.
Then it's okay between you and me.
Okay, nothing's okay. But you're all right, you're just all wrong for me.
Is everything okay?
What do you care? And why are you here?
Look, I just risked my life, pushing through chaos non-stop, just to check on my favorite queer bashing cop. And this would be why.
You do better checking on your client in his prison situation. Now that he's nailed in jail, he's wrecking your big gun reputation.
From what I understand about you and Dwayne, why aren't you there with him? How come you're here instead with her? From what anyone might reasonably infer, his pain is your pain.
What are you talking about?
All the way here, I couldn't decide if I needed to be sure you're dead or if I needed to be sure you're alive and not some figment of my ambivalent head. All the way here, I wanted you out. I wanted you out of the case. I wanted you out. I wanted you out of danger. I wanted you out of my dreams.
You come in, and I'm spinning in space, and thrown from home base. I want something that nothing will shake and that no one will take away.
What kind of people? Who are you anyway. How could you ruin a man as a casual part of a regular day? Do you even notice when that's what you do? Do you ever have a clue about anyone else? Or what's real? Or what's true?
I don't think I'm queer, and I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere.
Did I say I don't make mistakes? I'm perfect with nothing to learn. I start and I stay with my heart, and saving the world is not my concern. Right now, I wouldn't know how or why. Well, I was thinking. Actually, I wanted to.
What about me?
What about love?
I wouldn't know why.
What about me?
What about the last thing when you close your
eyes? What about the three of us?
What about the last thing when you close your eyes? I would meet you there.
I was thinking.
If you think we could,
maybe
I would meet you there.
Jesus Christ. Maybe you're right.
I was thinking,
what about the three of us?
Maybe you're
actually
right. Maybe you're right.
I was thinking, I wanted to.
I would meet you there.
What about love?
I would meet you there.
What about love?
I would meet you there.
What about
Mike, Tiffany, and Rick, survivors of the 1994 earthquake in Northridge, dealing with their personal issues as part of the aftermath. From I Was Looking at the Ceiling and Then I Saw the Sky. Music of John Adams to a libretto by June Jordan. In that recording, we heard Jonas Holst as Mike, Lilith Gardell as Tiffany, Marcus Nasser as Rick. Klaus Simon conducted the members of the Holst Sinfonietta. It's 29 minutes after 7 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadell at KGNU, and my playlist featuring operas with modern calamities, from hurricanes to earthquakes. And now we move on to an epidemic from the opera Florencia and Amazonas by Daniel Catan. The Mexican composer Daniel Catan lived from 1949 to 2011, and he composed in just about every genre. His style is considered neo-romantic. Well, his 1996 opera, Florencia in the Amazon, was inspired in part by a situation from the novel Love in the Time of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. But the plot is very different, although it also contains elements of magical realism, as you'll hear. Florencia is a famous opera singer who's traveling up the Amazon River by steamboat to the city of Manaus in Brazil, where she is to sing at the opera house. Her lover, Cristobal, is a biologist who specializes in butterflies, but he vanished in the Amazon jungle not long ago. His fate is unknown. Others on board include a couple whose marriage has grown stale, and Rosalba, a journalist hoping to interview Florencia for a biography she's writing. She's also attracted to the captain's nephew, Arcadio. Well, a storm nearly sinks the boat. Some characters will perish. And in this scene from the end of the opera, the boat approaches the town of Manaus. Rosalba and Arcadio contemplate starting a new life there. But suddenly, the captain declares the town is quarantined. There is a cholera epidemic. Soon, coffins with the dead float by in the river, and that panics the passengers. The captain reassures them, if we stay on the boat, everything will come out all right. Florencia starts to imagine she feels the presence of her missing lover, and singing an impassioned aria, she turns into a butterfly and flies away. Florencia in the Amazon.
Honest,
Passengers on a steamboat on the Amazon River at the town of Manaus are quarantined due to cholera epidemic in the town, and the opera star Florencia turns into a butterfly, flies away searching for the spirit of her lost lover. The conclusion of Florencia and Al Amazonas, Florencia in the Amazon, opera by Daniel Catan. We heard Patricia Schumann as Florencia, Anna Marie Martinez as Rosalba, Chad Shelton as Arcadio, and Oren Gratis as the captain. Patrick Summers conducted the Houston Grand Opera. I'm going to conclude my program on modern calamities with a jetliner of Icarus Airlines. Airline Icarus, the opera, was composed in 2005 by the Canadian composer Brian Current. The idea for the opera was suggested to him by his friend, the poet Anton Piatigorsky, who was struck by the hubris and achievement represented by modern technologies. He was also struck by the contrast between small talk and watching movies in the proximity of dangers and forces that must be continuously controlled during flight. Well, the thought occurred to both of them that Icarus was the perfect metaphor. Now, you should remember, Icarus is the character in Greek mythology who built wings and coated them with wax, but he flew so high the sun melted the wax and he plunged to earth. His father, Daedalus, witnessed it and exclaimed, "Damn this art!" Meaning, man's hubris will not go back, but will assert itself despite the risks of going forward. And in this short opera, the passengers express their inner thoughts, what food they're going to order, flirting with the flight attendant, finding their aisle seat and who they're sitting next to, and so forth. And in this scene from the end of Act One, the jet encounters violent turbulence. The plane suddenly plummets. The passengers can't tell if they're falling or ascending. And a voice calls out, "Damn this art," as the flight attendant tries to calm everyone. The pilot sits smiling. No peace so great, no air so clean, no joy so pure to cruise the calm of 30,000 feet. The turbulence passes. The plane levels off. "Nothing is as free as me," say the passengers.
can be here.
Passengers on the plane are jolted out of their small talk and self-interest as their jet shudders through strong turbulence. From Airline Icarus, the one-act opera by Canadian composer Brian Current, we heard Christina Szabo as the flight attendant and Alexander Dobson as the pilot. Brian Current conducted. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. Stay tuned for A Classic Monday.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by Gourmet Kitchen, a full-service, woman-owned catering company serving Denver, Boulder, and the Front Range since 2002. The Gourmet Kitchen cooks in your language, including classic American fare and gourmet food from around the globe. For more information, visit thegourmetkitchen.com.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Coming up next, A Classic Monday.
Musica Mundi is Latin for Music of the World. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m., this international show spans the globe in musical styles. From obscure field recordings to new recordings of traditional styles, you'll hear music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That's Musica Mundi, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on KGNU.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by Save Home Heat Company, providing professional service and installation of heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical systems, proudly serving the Boulder, Denver area for over 35 years. More information at savehomeheat.com.
Hi, this is Indra Raj, KGNU's music director. Right now, you might be spending more time at home, away from your usual social activities. If that's making you feel alone or disconnected, an inspiring song and a friendly voice on KGNU can connect you with thousands of other listeners just like you. Strengthen that connection further by donating to make these programs you rely on possible. Your gift now in support of our programming will turn into more of the music you love later. Please take a moment to think about what KGNU means to you and make a donation at kgnu.org. And thank you.
Attention Denver and Boulder High School seniors. KGNU is hosting the New Prom Saturday, May 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. The two-time Best of Denver award-winning DJ Aaron Stereo spins the tunes at this unique video prom chaperoned by KGNU's Deep Rock Dave. Formal attire is required, and the video guest list is limited to 50 couples who RSVP. So act now. Go to kgnu.org to RSVP with your official school email and to nominate the prom's king and queen. And for those of you who are not seniors, everyone's welcome to listen and dance along at 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and at kgnu.org. That's the New Prom, Saturday, May 2nd, from 6 to 9 p.m., online and on your community radio station, KGNU.
Welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride. I'll be your host for the next 2 hours of art music from the Renaissance to the present day. This evening, music of Arturo Marquez, Eric Iwazin, Bohuslav Martineau, Charles Stanford, Rafe Vaughan Williams, his Antarctic Symphony. But first, music from the American composer Nancy Bloomer Dewson. She died just last November at the age of 88. Let's hear a short piano work of hers from 1995.